Hey, welcome back to the show. Today, I'm going to be talking about how to create a process. Expect to learn what a process is, how it helps and benefits you, how to find, practice, and trust your process, and much more. But before we get started, please do me the great favor and hit the subscribe button on whatever platform you're following along on or listening on. It really does make a huge, huge difference. And it's the easiest and cheapest way to support what this show is all about. It allows us to grow the show and get on more guests, more episodes. So I thank you so much for doing that. In other news, don't forget to join The Game Plan, a free email that I send out every Friday morning with inspiration, motivation, and ideas on mindset, mental health, and your perspective. Simply click the link in the description below to join or head over to lewishatchett.com/the-game-plan. Thank you so much, and I'll see you Friday morning. Also, if you're interested in developing your mindset or your mental health and know the value of putting your mental game first, you may find the MindStrong Academy helpful. It's an online academy designed to help you become a more confident version of yourself. Not only will you gain access to monthly mindset masterclasses, but also motivational videos, inspirational listening and reading, live podcasts, and much more. The subscription is the cost of a coffee per week, and you can get started with a 14-day free trial. As well as this, you can have the option to sign up to the MindStrong Mindset course, and as a part of that offer, you can get the MindStrong Academy completely free for life. As a listener of this podcast, you get a 20% discount by using the code RYGMindStrong at checkout. That's RYGMindStrong at checkout, and there's a link in the description of this episode. I'll see you inside. But on to today's episode on how to create a process. Enjoy. So a few weeks ago, I was in a conversation with a couple of young teammates of mine, and we were talking about how do you execute skills, how do you perform under pressure, how do you string together performances? How do you stay consistent? And I was starting to ask them some questions and asking them about how they go about doing what they do. And in this context was in cricket, and it was for them batting. And once I asked them a couple of questions, I realized they ultimately were kind of going out into their performances and just hoping that their performances went to plan. They were just dealing with what they had on the day. They didn't really have too much of an idea of how they were doing what they were doing, and also what to be telling themselves, what they were looking out for. And then ultimately, when they'd finished that game, when they went home and maybe did a sort of a little review of their game, how they actually improved in training, what they did well, what perhaps didn't go so well for them, and again, how they try and improve moving forward. And through that conversation, I realized that they didn't have a process. And so I ended up describing to them what a process was, and then I ended up describing to them why a process is of benefit, and then how you can create one, how you can practice it, and then how you can trust it. And that's exactly what I'm going to do in this episode. I'm going to run you through pretty much what I told them, because what I realized was I have created a process in my sport, and it was the thing that held together a lot of my performances, allowed me to be consistent, allowed me to perform under more pressure, allowed me to stay in control. And you'll very often hear athletes, when they come off the field, when they're giving those interviews at the end of a game, talking about, I just trusted my process. I went to my process and I just executed my process. And I remember growing up thinking, what the hell is a process? Like, what does this mean? I almost used to not like the word. And it wasn't until I started to really create one myself and then realize how powerful they actually are. So in this episode, we're going to talk around how you can create one for yourself, how you can then train it and trust it. So what is a process? Ultimately, what is it? Now, from a definition point of view, it is a series of actions and steps that are taken in order to achieve a particular end. And in the context that we're going to talk about in sport is your performance, is the outcome, is executing a skill to the best of your ability. Now, how does a process help us? What are the benefits of a process? And it essentially comes down to the fact that a process is 100% in your control. A lot of the time when we are focused in sport, we are focused on the outcome. And you hear of these outcome goals. And in psychology, you'll hear the difference between outcome goals and process goals. Outcome goals are the outcome of the result, the skill, the result of a game, ultimately that outcome. And we place our goals on the outcome. I want to win the race. I want to win this moment in the game. And ultimately, those are not fully in our control. We can influence them, but they're not 100% guaranteed. Whereas process goals, they are how we go about getting to that performance, how we go about getting to that execution of the skill, the process that gets us to that. And when we focus on that, those are 100% in our control. And so being in our control, as I've mentioned, being in control, as I've mentioned so many times on the podcast, is about allowing us to reduce anxiety, because anxiety is us trying to control something that we can't control, but wanting to control it. So when we're able to focus on a process that is in our control, that can help reduce our anxiety and also perhaps even increase our confidence and our competency that we feel in control of what we're about to do. Another benefit is the fact that it's actually trainable. Once you've got a process, you can go train it. And a large part of this episode is going to be about going and training your process. So you can actually work on it. You can take it away. You can write it down. You can alter it. You can change things. You can experiment. You can play around with it to try and get the best process for the best execution, the best skill, the best performance that you're trying to achieve. And then when you get sort of further down the line, when you're actually trying to develop that process and stress it a little bit, you can start to test it under pressure. And a brilliant thing is, when you're under pressure, a process becomes invaluable, because you can have holistic process goals where they are such things as like a short word that reminds you of all the different mechanisms in your process that you would create in training, but they're too much to remember in the moment. So you say one word or a phrase that reminds you of all those things. I'll give you an example. My process when I'm bowling is quite a large one. I have to make sure that the ball is in my hand in a certain way. I have my fingers on one stitch. I have my my middle finger on one stitch, my index finger on another. When I have my run up, I turn left. I sort of like Zoolander. I then execute the start of that run up by pressing my right foot down and then pumping my knees through that process. I'm getting tall in my action. I'm then running at a certain intensity on the first third of my run up, then the second third of my run up, and then the third of my run up, I'm doing different things there. And then all throughout that, I'm focused in on a certain part of the pitch. And I've also associated that part of the pitch with the ball that I'm going to bowl. So the decision that I've made at the very top of my run up. Now that may seem really complicated, and there's almost some things there that I'm missing. But when I'm in the moment and I'm actually doing it, I will just say things like ball, mark, tall, and pump. And those will be just words that I will say at certain points to execute my process. But ultimately, if that all of that's in check, sometimes I'm not even saying that. If I feel like I'm in good rhythm, I might even choose one part of that process that I'm focusing on, or I focus on just where I'm about to bowl the ball. I'm just nailed in, I'm zoned in, locked in. And it'll just be an intense intention onto that one part of the process. So the idea of having these simple process goals and these phrases and words in your process is so that when you're under pressure and your mind is running and you've got lots going on, you can just zone it down. You can simplify it down to maybe one or two words and just remind you of it. But all of that has been trained. It has been honed. It has been refined. It has worked. It's seen some success, so that I know if I do those things, my chances of me executing my skill go way up. And as well, if I am out of form, I can recognize if I'm not doing those things. So they give me a bit of a handle to come back to. And that's a really big important part of having a process, is that if you feel out of form, if you are not doing things right, sometimes you may not be doing your process. You may not be doing the things that have got you to a good outcome and a good execution of your skill and your performance, because you are not focusing on your process. So if you're out of form, you can always refer back to your process. Just double check. Maybe something's changed. Maybe something, you're doing something differently. You can use a coach. And lastly, you have this increase of motivation, because when you take away the external pressures of the outcome, of the result, and you don't focus on those, and you focus on the process, you can be simply motivated on the fact that all of this is in my control. And if I do this, then my chances of success go up. Whereas if we only dwell on the outcome, there can be huge amounts of the opposition. I feel they're better than me. The expectations of others, the environment I'm in, all of these external factors that are going on that could create negative self-talk. They could make you doubt yourself. You'll start to think, okay, I'm maybe not as motivated to do this. But if you focus on your process, and if I can execute my process as many times as I possibly can, then I know I can walk away and hopefully I've had a good outcome. But if not, I'm motivated to go and try it again in the next game. And I remember an Australian cricketer who I'm really interested, I would love to get him on the podcast, Will Pukowski. He scored 200s before he got picked for Australia. And he got interviewed after the second one, I think. And the reporter had said to him, Will, how did you do this? How did you score two double hundreds in two matches? And he was like, I don't really know what you mean. I just simply did my process 400 times. He faced 400 balls for each innings. And in his mind, he was like, I just executed my process 400 times. It was so simple. But the result of doing that process 400 times for him was 200 runs, was the outcome that he was looking for. Whereas if you kind of look at that outcome and you go, oh, I want to get 200, that's a huge expectation. The conditions may not be suited. But if you can focus purely on that process, then for him, it was really simplified. It gave him something to just focus on repetitively. And then that was his judgment of his performance, was how many times did I execute my skill? So I really enjoyed that interview. And I don't know where to find it. I just remember hearing it on the radio when I was in Australia. And it just reminded me like how important a process actually is, especially for getting the outcome that you want. So let's move on to how we're going to find a process. Let's figure out how, if you don't have one, and you may also be in a position where you do currently have a process and maybe you're not trusting it as much. Maybe you think you need to change something a little bit. Maybe you want to refine it. So this might be relevant for you as well. And I will get onto if you do have a process and refining it and sometimes the dangers of that. But essentially, if you are sort of trying to wipe the slate clean or you don't even have a process to begin with, where should you start? What should you do? First of all, grab yourself a notepad. I think these are the most valuable things you can have as an athlete, is placing a notepad into your bag so that when good things happen, when bad things happen, indifferent things, someone tells you something that inspires you, whatever it might be, you can write it down and you can have it in your kit bag just at all times. Because if you're in your head, you're dead. And if you don't get it out onto the page, you don't make it real. And sometimes we're very forgetful creatures. So if someone tells you something, you're like, that really resonates with me. I love that. You can put it in your notes. Now, I always love writing something down on a piece of paper, and especially if it's your own personal performance, such as your sport, and having that as this sort of Bible almost in your bag, because just the cathartic process of writing it, I feel makes us remember it rather than putting it in your phone. You can put it in your phone if you want. Feel free to put in your notes, but I just kind of like that feeling of pen on paper, and I think we remind ourselves a little bit more. So grab yourself a notepad, because it's super important for being able to remember those things that you are telling yourself in the moment that you want to remember, that you perhaps will forget because life is busy and things will get in the way. So what should we put in it? How do we create this process? So essentially, again, if you're starting from scratch, go back to, or when you have a good performance, think of what was going on in that performance. What was I telling myself? What was I doing? How was I acting? What were the movements I was doing? Was there something I was visualizing? And I think this is important to remind you at this point, is your process going to be self-talk related? Is it visualization? Is it breathing? Is it relaxing? What is it and how's it going to look? That's an important part of, and it could be all of those, remember. You can have different parts of that at different moments, but in a previous episode with Dr. Alexander Ladinjak, where we spoke about self-talk, not everyone needs self-talk. Not everyone is going to need to use words to remind them of actions to have this, what he called gut goal-directed self-talk, the actions that you want to take. And it may not be you. It might be a visual. You might be better off visualizing what it is you have to do. So seeing it before it happens and the best performance for you. Might be just simply breathing, taking deep breaths, those belly breaths to help relax us in the moment, or some muscle relaxation. That could be a huge part of your routine. your process. So just think about what is it that you have done in the past, what has worked for you, and then start to write that down. And if you haven't really got anywhere to go in the past, look for your next performance. Now, I know a part of the process is going to be about trying to get to a good performance, especially if you're not in good form right now, but it could be in training. It could be when you do one action in training, register that. Register, what did I just do there? What was I looking at? What did I tell myself? What was I focused on? What was I doing? And try to do it again. And then you repeat over and over again. And you might start to get things wrong. There might be parts of it that work, but maybe other parts that didn't feel comfortable. And this is where you start writing it down. You start, okay, when I did this motion, when I said this to myself, when I looked at, focused on this, this was the outcome. Write that down. That could start as the foundation, the very foundational piece to your process. And you also want to think about what skill is associated to what process. What I mean by that is there could be many different processes you have for different skills, but there could also be a very foundational piece for it. So if we think about building a process as building like a pyramid, and we're trying to build the foundational piece here. In my bowling, for example, I have a certain foundational process that gets me from the start of my run up towards the crease. But at the crease, I could be bowling a Yorker, which is at the toes of the batsman. I could be bowling a normal length, which is sort of in the middle of the pitch. I could be bowling a bouncer, which is shorter down the pitch to aim towards the batsman's head. I could be bowling a slower ball, different variations of a slower ball. And within that process of doing all of those different skills, each process will be different. I just didn't execute a certain part, or I did execute a certain part. But the process is built on a bedrock of my run-up, of my approach, of my thinking, my what I'm visualizing, where I'm focused, all of that. There is a bedrock of that. So if you really are starting from scratch, you don't want to go and try to build a process for the most complex skill that you possibly have. You want to make sure that you're trying to build this for your most fundamental, foundational skill that you have. So if it's if you're a footballer and taking a free kick, you might be, instead of trying to just go for the top corner, you might be just trying to get the ball up over the wall. You may be just trying to get some curl on the ball. What is that part of the process that you're trying to do? I don't know what that may be. I'm not a footballer, but this is just throwing some ideas out there. But the idea is that you're building your foundational part of your process that might underpin all of the other intricate and more advanced skills. So that's a long way around of saying, don't go to the advanced skill first. Focus on building a process for your most basic skills. That was way better. So if we're doing our process, if we're creating this process, we're trying out things, we're experimenting, make sure that you do try different things and be open to trying different things, especially if you've not found anything before. Try it out. This is where practice is really important. When you go to training, have some moments in your practice where you are experimenting with different things. I would start my practices where I would be quite foundational. I would start training and doing something that felt good, trying to execute a skill that I was good at, a strength of mine. Then I'd have a little period of time where I'd experiment new things, try a new skill, test out a new process, and then finish off with sort of repairing that process and being nailed on with that foundational piece that I started with. So you can start to experiment, and this is where it could easily start to get really complicated. So don't, as a bit of a warning, don't go too hard and don't go overcomplicating it. Just make it so that you're working on something, not overthinking it, not overcomplicating it, but just doing something that's different. You're open to a new idea, enough for you to remember, but not enough to complicate yourself. And so you can start to then look at a training session. Okay, this worked for me. I'm going to write down that was good, and I'm going to try that again next time. I'm going to repeat this in this training session and then go again next training session. Oh, it didn't work as well in the training session. I'm going to refine it slightly. Yes, it's starting to work, or there is consistency. It's happened again. I'm starting to see some success and that feels good. Bang, that could be a part of my foundational piece to my process. And you just repeat that. If something doesn't work, try something else. Ask the advice of coaches. Does this look good? Do you think I'm executing? Am I getting this right? This is where you can use other teammates as well. Does this look right to you? How does that come out? Or how does that look for you? How do you see it? and being open and honest to that, the more questions you ask in this process of creating a process, is the faster you will get to the answers, the faster you will get to that place where you can start to have a nailed on process. And I think the best athletes I've ever seen are the ones that get to their process the quickest. They're the ones that at a young age, they have been open to trying new things, exploring. But then once they found the things that have worked for them, they've honed in on them. They've stayed there. And this is where the second part of practicing your process is really valuable. Because once you've figured out what does potentially work, you've seen some success, is then spending time practicing that process. Now, when you're in training, the idea of this process is that you are practicing it in training so that you can simply take it from training, the training facility, the training time, and put it into practice, put it into your performance when it matters. So in a game, in a competition, because you don't want to practice something different in training and then go and completely forget it and just go into your competition and not be thinking about your process. I think this is where people forget about this. They forget that you simply pick up your process from training and you place it into a competition. And that's where if you go into a competition and it doesn't potentially work, you look at, okay, did it work? What was going on there? Did I just misexecute the process? Did I not think about the process? Or was it part of that process that didn't work? Again, you've got to have the conversation with yourself, coaches, maybe teammates, everyone around you. Be open and honest as to what you were thinking, what you were trying to accomplish. And that's why, again, use your notepad that when you go into training, you write down what is your process that you want to execute in competition. That's why a notepad is just gold dust, because when you get to a competition, you might start to feel anxious. You might start to feel that nerves. You might start to feel the excitement and your mind might start running. It's very easy to get drawn into the competition, the sport, and think about it from a perspective of, I'm thinking about the outcome now. I'm thinking about the others, the opposition, people on the sidelines, what people think of me. And all of those distractions take you away from your process. And the best athletes come back to their process. They focus in on the process. Just try and execute that. So practicing it, picking it up from practice and placing it into competition, that's what we want to get to. Hence why practicing it in training is so important. And once you start practicing and you feel comfortable with it, then you start to put a little bit more stress onto it. You might start to create a bit of pressure training. When the pressure gets put on in training, do I move away from my process? It's okay if you do. If you move away from it in training, that's fine. Just remember that you've moved away from it and try to get yourself back to that process. Get yourself back to focusing on the things that you're trying to do and the tasks, the actions, the steps that you're taking to get that best possible performance and that best possible outcome for you. And more the times you repeat, the stronger you're going to become at this. You just stress it a little bit, you test it, you see how you go, you review it, come back. And the more you keep doing that, the stronger you're going to make this process. You're going to realize it's good under stress. It's good when I'm up against different opposition. It works against different environments and opposition, and you'll start to feel more and more confident with it. And then finally, the last piece of this puzzle is trusting it. It can be incredibly hard to trust a process, especially when things aren't going your way, especially if you end up recognizing that perhaps a performance hasn't been because of a process, but it's just been because of maybe something an opposition did. Maybe the opposition had a good game, and that could force you to doubting your process, doubting the way in which you do things. That doubt of your process can be dangerous, because when we don't start to trust our process, we start to look for new things and we move away from what we have found because we've done all the work before. We have moved away from what we found works for us. And that's an incredibly challenging part to being an athlete, especially at a professional level, because there's a lot of external noise. And being able to just sit there and trust in the process that you have created and know that if I do this enough times, I am confident that I'm going to get success because I've seen it in the past. I've seen it in training. It's what feels comfortable to me. It's what feels authentic to me as well. It's really important that your process is an authentic process. A part of, if I go back to finding your process, maybe even a part of finding that process was finding it from other athletes. I know I built my process from mentors, from teammates that I looked up to, but then I took what they did and made it my own. That's still authentic. It's creating your own thing out of something perhaps someone else has done. And when we feel this is authentic to me, you feel like you're playing the game, you're doing your sport, you're performing your own way, your own version, your unique version, your authentic version of yourself. And that in itself is a great place to be in. You're playing the game authentically to yourself, not the way someone else wants to play it, but the way you want to play. You've got that freedom knowing that even if this doesn't work out for me, I've still done things the way I wanted to do them. But if the performance maybe hasn't gone your way, can you analyze it? Can you reflect on it by saying, did I do my process? Was I getting caught up in the outcome? Was I getting caught up in what others were thinking of me? Did I get distracted away from my process? And if the answer to that is yes, then it goes back to training. I've just got to go back and focus on the process rather than doubt the process, rather than doubt the fact that I don't think this is working. Now, a caveat to all of this is that there may be parts of your process may not be working. And yes, you can develop it. And it does take time to have enough experience to trust in it. That's why the best athletes end up hitting a certain age and then suddenly it all just clicks for them. I remember I hit 28 and suddenly I was like, I get it now. It's like I woke up one morning and I realized I understand this. I understand what I'm meant to be focusing on now, and I've recognized what I have to achieve. And it did take me a long time. It was like the first year I was a pro was 20, and then started building my process, and it was 8 years until I have this eureka moment. But you can condense it. I mentioned that the best athletes are the ones that shorten that time frame. And if you can shorten your time frame to becoming an athlete that is trusting their process at a very early age, there's a chance that the success can come, and you can take away a lot of the doubts. You can take away a lot of that searching for something, and you've just started to perform. But it is a unique journey. It is a unique journey itself. Everyone will have their own unique journey of getting to their process. It can take time. It's not an overnight thing. It's not like, bang, this is just going to work tomorrow and great for me and I'm going to have all the success in the world. It can genuinely take some time to get there. So persevere with it, trust it. And I hope that this has been of value to you. The last little bit I would add is that I kind of mentioned it, and that is that your process can change over time. It can adapt. There will be parts of this where if you haven't got a process, you'll be building out your own and you'll build that foundational skill. And the idea is that once you've got that foundation, the added other bits, there'll be bits where you develop as an athlete, you think differently, things work. And so having that sort of space to adapt and change isn't necessarily the bad thing. It can be adapting and improving and building those layers of that pyramid that we're building. And that is a part of the process of creating a process. So I just wanted to finish off with that it can adapt, it can change over time. That change isn't bad. And just go ahead and trust what you do end up coming with. And it's a journey in itself, creating your process. But once you've got one, it can make you a much more confident player, motivated, performing better under pressure, less anxious, focused. You can find that form sometimes that can easily feel like it's been lost, and you are way more in control of your performance. So that's everything I've got for you. I hope it's been of help. Be sure to reach out to me over on Instagram at Lewis Hatchett. Let me know if there's anything that's come up from this episode that you want to talk more about, and you perhaps have got a question. Maybe even fire a question over on the website, lewishatchett.com. I'm hopefully going to be placing a process-related masterclass into the Mindstrong Academy. So if you're not a member of the Mindstrong Academy, be sure to sign up to that by clicking the link in the description. And hopefully we'll go into a deeper dive and have an ability to have a bit of Q&A and back and forth if you want to create your own process and if you've got any questions. And we'll be doing that in the next month or so. So that's everything I've got for you this week. I will see you guys next time. But actually, before we go, please do me the greatest honor of subscribing to this podcast if you haven't already. Hit that follow button on whatever channel that you're following on. It really is the best thing that you can do for this podcast. It really makes my day. If you're even feeling more generous, hit a review over on Apple Podcasts. That would be amazing if you can write one. It just makes my day when people do that. So thank you so much for those that have and will continue to do so. Anyway, I'll see you guys next time. Take it easy.